Good morning. It is a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. And Alan, tomorrow night, the celebration, the actual 100th birthday of Pete Seeger. You and I were talking before coming on. There was a segment last night on NPR where, believe it or not, there's some archived Pete Seeger tapes at the Smithsonian that we were treated to that hadn't been heard before.
That's right, David. You'll remember that Tochi told us, and these were her exact words, everything went to the Smithsonian. And if you've ever been in Pete's house, it's really an extraordinary thing. It was basically one room, big fireplace. He cut wood and he burned the wood and he lived very, very simply. But I know there was a lot of stuff chucked into that house, and I know it all went down to the Smithsonian, and, you know, it was something to be able to do that and to have him participate with WAMC all of those years. He really loved the station, and in my office is a big log with Pete's famous banjo on the log and said, keep the flame alive, and that's what we're trying to do.
Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., WAMC.org. Still a few tickets left, right, Alan?
That's right, David.
All right, well, let's turn to the news of the day. Well, the Russia inquiry, quite blistering criticism from Senate Democrats about Attorney General William Barr's testimony yesterday, and this after we learned that Mueller had written a letter voicing his own concerns about Barr's characterization.
Well, that's right. It took a lot, I'm sure, for Mueller, who is a consummate civil servant. He doesn't make policy. He just investigates. He was the head of the FBI, and he has a sterling reputation, and both Democrats and Republicans loved him, and he was a Republican. But, of course, he's been subjected to terrible attack from the president from time to time. Yesterday, we saw Barr saying that his letter was snitty. And, of course, Barr has proven himself to be disgraceful because he got out in front of it. Clearly, it sounded as if, I can't swear, his letter to the Congress was dictated from the White House. That's what it sounded like to me. And an attorney general is supposed to be attorney general for all the people, supposed to be above, you know, any political nonsense. And we know, in fact, that that has not always been the case. I think John Mitchell and Dick Nixon and others. Nevertheless, it was a big disappointment. And the senators really laid hands on him and let him have it to the point where he is so chicken that he won't come before the House of Representatives on a scheduled interview today. So it is disappointing. He's well-spoken. Nevertheless, he really can't get around this. And his reputation, I think, is in tatters.
The assumption is that Nadler will send along a subpoena.
Well, I think that Nadler will. Nadler is a tough guy, as I've said many times. I grew up on the west side of Manhattan. I watched his career and knew him. And I can tell you, this is a guy who's not going to turn around. He's going to go for it. And when you're facing somebody like Donald Trump, that takes a lot of guts. Put yourself into his place. Would you do it? And you know that there's nothing that these guys won't stop at.
Preet Bharara, we remember him. Former U.S. attorney from the Southern District of New York, says there's a reasonable likelihood that the president will get indicted after he leaves office.
Well, that's right. There have been a number of allegations about the president that have surfaced. One of the reasons many people think he is desperate to win another term is because of the shibboleth, and that's what it is. It is a made-up concept that a president is above the law and can't be indicted while in office. That's ridiculous. We've talked about it 1,000 times. The idea that if he shot somebody, he couldn't be indicted? Come on now, folks. We know better than that. But in any case, the lie has been bought, and people like Mueller and others have adhered to the idea that a sitting president can't be indicted. I think it's ridiculous, and I think many people do, but the minute he gets out of office, he's indictable.
You spoke with Senator James Skoufis, who is a Democrat from Rockland County, among a number of things. You talked about a comment made by Governor Andrew Cuomo that he wouldn't know if he had spoken to a lobbyist, and Skoufis' answer was, put it this way, I know when I'm talking to a lobbyist.
Come on now. Look, Governor Cuomo talks to a lot of people, and I'm sure that there may be a few times when he didn't know a lobbyist. I was with his father one day here at WAMC, came in, and there was a lobbyist standing there, and the lobbyist said, I'd like to hang around for when the governor comes. And he said, you know, we're friends. And he was standing in the door. The governor came in the door, nodded at the lobbyist. But as he went inside, he leaned over to me and said, who is that guy? So it's possible not to know who somebody is. And when you're a state senator, you're much more likely to have a far more rarefied group of people that you talk to than if you're a governor and going around to different places. Nevertheless, it strains credibility that we don't know who the major lobbyists are. We know who they are.
we've heard in the continuing conversation over gun violence that it takes one good guy with a gun to take care of one bad guy with a gun. And I just heard this morning coming in the BBC that the Florida legislature has passed legislation to allow teachers to carry guns in schools.
Well, many of us think that this is a very bad idea. You know, teachers are there to teach. They're not there to be packing. But it's an easy out for many of the people who are very afraid of what is happening in our school. And they're saying if somebody had a gun, maybe they could have stopped somebody. Well, maybe. It's possible. On the other hand, what's the lesson for the students that teacher is packing? What are the chances that somebody will, who is not really that well trained, take a gun out and shoot in a different time? We see cops do it all the time. We see other people do it. So it's probably not a very good idea. And I know that the teachers' unions and others have been adamantly against it. Nevertheless, again, an easy and cheap way out.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Well, there's no cheap way out of making sure that WAMC keeps on keeping on, and you can help us do that tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Linda for the Pete Seeger 100th birthday celebration.
With a great happy tram, I got to say, I can't wait. We'll see you all there. I hope you'll come because it's going to be a great evening.
Thanks, Alan. WAMC.org for tickets.